With news from Aspen Public Radio, I'm Molly Dove. Six candidates are vying for two open seats on the Aspen School District's Board of Education. Aspen Media held the third and final forum of the week last night. Much of the conversation focused on teachers and how they are paid. When asked if they agree with the Aspen Education Association to start teachers at $50,000 a year, which would be a $7,000 increase a year, all candidates said yes, but Bettina Slusar said $50,000 is not enough.
We need to make education what it once was, a very well-respected and well-compensated. When you adjust for cost of living, we're actually asking our teachers to live in poverty, which is not acceptable.
Currently, the Aspen school system has 50 affordable housing units set aside for teachers, but only half are being used. Like all other candidates, Jonathan Nichols said that is a big problem. But with over 200 staff members in the district that may want housing, it's going to take a lot of money to provide that.
If we're going to make a real impact on this, I think, you know, we're going to have to do something big like a bond issue or something and get some real money behind it. Because, you know, if we only want to get half of the people in housing at the average cost of a house in Aspen, we're looking at some big math.
To get more teachers in affordable housing, Jim Pomeroy said he has the most experience.
I think, unfortunately, not too many people have any ideas on how to do this. I actually have probably more experience with employee housing and how the program works. And I know within this group, and I'm probably one of the most knowledgeable folks outside of APSHA itself.
Other candidates offered an alternative idea. Instead of making sure there are slots of affordable houses set aside, a pay increase would allow teachers to live wherever they choose. The conversation also focused on district culture and climate, after what candidates called mistrust between the previous superintendent and the community. All candidates agree that the trust needs to be fixed. John Columbus said communication is the key in doing that.
I was thinking about open houses or community nights where the board is available. Too often, I think we got these meetings and we got this structure, and if you can only get your point across at a board meeting, that's trouble.
But Katie Frisch said she is more interested in what needs to be done next in order to move forward and hire a new superintendent.
And how we can create a community appropriate process to find the best fit community appropriate leader and who will be able to communicate with, not to, the community as well.
Patsy Kirkulis agreed with the other candidates and said the previous board sided with the superintendent while ignoring parent and teacher concerns.
It's going to be a really hard thing for the superintendent, but he needs to gain the trust of all the teachers and the community. So bringing forth more of a culture that everyone knows about instead of is questioning about.
All candidates agreed that the new superintendent should communicate with teachers and the community and create and accomplish a vision for the district. The two candidates to take the open seats will be decided on November 5th. A new interactive exhibit is now open at the Aspen Art Museum. Kristen Kay reports, "Hi, how are you, Gonzo?" uses found objects to engage the community.
Artist Abraham Cruz Villegas takes inspiration from his childhood neighborhood in Mexico City, with its improvised houses built from whatever materials happened to be available. Three of his blind self-portraits are on display now at the Aspen Art Museum. Step close to the different sized painted rectangles that make up the works, and you'll see that they're actually sugar packets, business cards, and flyers. The exhibit invites participation. At a preview earlier this week, viewers cranked bright red air raid sirens in front of a graph showing the number of apprehensions of unaccompanied minors at the U.S.-Mexico border. Hi, How Are You, Gonzo? Is open through January. The exhibit itself will change during weekly activations and workshops the museum plans to hold. Kristen Kay, Endless Neeson Arts and Culture Desk.
Colorado's oil and gas regulators say they will put some drilling applications through a more rigorous review process. That's after a study found people in close proximity to the sites face health risks. Scott Franz has more.
The study found that when wells are being constructed, people within 2,000 feet of them could experience headaches, dizziness, and other short-term symptoms, but only under extreme conditions. The state says applications for permits less than 2,000 feet from homes will face more scrutiny. But Jeff Robbins, who leads the state board that reviews applications, says residents who already live close to an active well shouldn't be worried.
For those existing wells that are in the production phase, the study is not implicating any health impacts. And that's the vast majority of the existing wells.
Meanwhile, some elected officials want to do more. Senate Majority Leader Steve Fenberg says the state should stop considering all permits for wells within 2,000 feet of homes until more safeguards are put in place. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
I'm Molly Dove, Aspen Public Radio News.